Log Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Cindy Solomon coming to you today on July 30th in the United States from the San Francisco Bay Area with the Global Product Management Talk. I'm delighted to be with you today. Global Product Management Talk is a weekly mini product camp, Socratic discussion with pre-posted questions, a live audio of thought leader and co-host, and a Twitter chat going on at the same time is for product professionals who cannot leave their desks to engage in product talks on a weekly basis. It is for passionate product professionals and business owners who want to teach, learn, and network about what it takes to produce successful products. We invite everyone to join in, including agile practitioners, UX people, designers, content and community managers, product marketing, brand management, program managers, and project managers. Also, customer service and support, social media strategists, everyone who touches the product at any point in the process, from developing, designing, and launching products through innovation and startups and the entire product lifecycle process. Because we all care about guaranteeing successful products and companies. Today, we are talking about why exceptional product managers have many mentors. And we are being joined by Hector Del Castillo, who is calling in from on the road. I think he's somewhere out on the East Coast. And also, we will be joined by our co-host, who is here in the Bay Area, Teresa Torres, who writes the blog TeresaTorres.com/product talk. And we are sponsored this week by the AIPMM, the Association of International Product Marketing and Management. Founded in 1998, the AIPMM promotes worldwide excellence in product management education, providing value to individual members, corporate members, sponsors, by providing training, education, certification, and professional networking opportunities. It is the only professional trade organization for membership. The AIPMM 7-Phase Product Lifecycle Framework is a vendor-independent product management and product marketing standard that takes into account best practices used in a wide range of companies and industries. This ensures that the most modern and up-to-date challenges faced in product management and product marketing are addressed for today's environment. The framework is part of the AIPMM product body of knowledge, the ProdBoc, that was developed with input from over 50 experts and endorsed by more than half a dozen consulting companies. The framework includes 7 distinct product phases from conceived to end of life, and covers all aspects during the entire product lifecycle. I am Cindy F. Solomon. You can follow me on Twitter at Cindy F. Solomon. That is also my website. And you are welcome to sponsor the Global Product Management Talk. Visit the website at prodmgmttalk.com. Our popularity has grown, so we are getting 5,000 listens per episode, which is very exciting. We just celebrated a year of podcasts. We have over 55 podcasts available in all areas of product management and product marketing that you can listen to on iTunes, on any mobile device, and we also have our own Android app. Just search for PRODMGMTTALK. In Google Play, and also on Stitcher, and any other mobile podcast application. So today we're talking about why exceptional product managers have many mentors. And the reason why is because new and seasoned product professionals confront challenges and obstacles on a daily basis due to any number of reasons. People are often thrust into positions of authority over products, projects, programs, and processes, and expected to successfully produce desired product results. This discussion will address the barriers to breaking into a product management role or a product team for new product management professionals, as well as the challenges of advancing in your career for rising product management professionals, and the importance of creating a culture of mentoring. within the product management profession for the benefit of the individuals, the product teams, and the success of the product and the business organization. Our speaker today is Hector Del Castillo. He is a PMP. He also holds CPM and CPMM certification. He has over 10 years of experience managing products throughout the development lifecycle and directing product strategy. He has launched 25 high-technology products and solutions, resulting in over $25 million in achieved global sales revenue. He's a highly accomplished, results-oriented, energetic, and innovative professional with extensive full product lifecycle management and product marketing experience. He has expertise defining and launching products and solutions, and he helps experienced managers understand the product management process and prepare for certification through practical training courses as product marketing director at the AIPMM. He earned his MS degrees in electrical engineering from UC Santa Barbara and the University of Texas at El Paso, and a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering from University of Texas. Hi, Hector.
Hi, Cindy. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, great. Also, we are joined today by Teresa Torres. She's a product consultant and a coach who works with early-stage companies, helping them translate big ideas into great products. Her focus is on helping product managers be better at what they do by sharing knowledge, building know-how, and refining practice. She's worked as an interaction designer, a user researcher, and in a variety of product management roles, from an individual contributor to a vice president. She was formerly the CEO of a technology startup that offered an online community platform adopted by over 150 university alumni associations and social recruiting products adopted by companies of all sizes. Welcome, Teresa.
Thank you, Cindy. I'm happy to be here.
Great. So, again, I am Cindy S. Solomon. I will be joining you on Twitter. We have pre-posted 7 questions for our discussion. As always, if you want to follow us on Twitter, follow PRODMGMTTALK, use the pound sign to search. And our first question, or our pre-question, as always, please introduce yourself, where you were tweeting from, and your involvement with product management. And let's jump right in with our first question. What are common obstacles to entering the product management profession?
Jumping right into the question as to is it sometimes hard to get into the product management profession is that, to begin with, in most organizations that have product management as a role formally defined, these type of positions tend to be mid to senior level positions, meaning that if you are a brand new graduate in school, even if you are at a master's level, let's say MBA or any other kind of master's degree, usually these type of positions aren't necessarily open for people with no experience. Most organizations that have product management roles defined are looking for people who have some sort of relevant experience, either in the industry or as a product manager or product marketing manager. So the toughest part about these particular roles is that most organizations, when they're looking for people to hire from outside, they are looking for someone who has already previous experience in product management or product marketing. Second, in some organizations where the role is brand new, in many cases, the people that actually are either promoted from within are usually people who have had several years of experience working within the organization and have proven to be leaders within product teams. So when you have a product-driven organization, whether it's goods or services or a combination of both, and they're creating a new position in product management or a new role in either product management or product marketing, they tend to look for people who have a clear record of leadership within the company, and usually that implies that they have been with the company for a few years before they're even considered for these type of positions. So that's really in general where most organizations that are looking to hire people into these roles, how they're making those decisions as to who they select for these type of positions.
Yeah, I would say I see a lot of the same thing, where most companies, I see two sort of categories of things. One, where you see the job description that requires they want an MBA preferred and they want 3 to 4 years of experience at a minimum. Or on the flip side, I know in the startup world, we see a lot of product management positions where they're entry-level positions. They just want someone fresh out of school who's going to be creative. And what ends up happening in practice is that they're not hiring a stranger for those positions. They're hiring somebody who's a friend of a current employee or somebody who was on their support team or was an account manager that they know is familiar with their product, familiar with their company, and then transitioning into a product role.
I see that also in startups here in San Francisco. Welcome. We have tweeters here, Victoria Figatelix, who's coming in from Lima, Peru, I believe. She says that they even look for specific experience, as in we need a software PM that has sold the exact product before. Yes, and also earlier, John Newbery, who's speaking next week, came in from London and said that the challenge for product management outside of the tech industry is the definition of the role by employers. So they have difficulty defining the role, and they also divide it by marketing, biz dev, or technical. So I think it is agreed on that there's many different obstacles to getting in, and then it's also confusing. People contact me on a regular basis asking me, how do I break in? There's no bridge in. There's no one standing opening doors inviting product managers to come in. Although I see a lot of open requirements, often I find that when people go on those interviews, what they're looking for or who they need is very different than what they defined on paper.
Yeah.
So let me just comment on some of those things, Cindy, because I think that we're talking pretty much the same thing. It often happens that when companies are actually creating the role of product management or product marketing and it's new to the organization, in many cases, they end up having an idea of some of the gaps that exist within the organization. And they naturally would think that there will be a single resource that is needed to do all of the work that usually ends up being in a job description. Having said that, I can tell often when I see a job description whether that role is brand new to the organization because of the way that it's written, meaning that it usually tends to have a lot of very widely different descriptions of what would be the responsibilities, the responsibilities assigned to that product manager or product marketing manager. And it would seem to be like it's an enormous long list of things that are currently viewed as gaps that no one else within the product team is filling, and therefore they want an experienced professional to come in and fill those particular gaps. Not always will it be a single resource that can actually do the actual work that is required, especially when you see a job description that tends to be 3 to 4 pages long. And I literally have seen this in many organizations. I can tell right away when organizations, when the role is brand new to the organization, or the maturity of the processes that exist or don't exist within the organization, the more that there is a gap in, let's say, the maturity of the processes that exist within the organization, the more they would lean on someone with product management experience or in a product management role to actually fill some of the gaps that exist. It may not be possible to fill them all with a single person in many cases. In many cases, they find out that they bring in one resource, and even with that one resource, it's still not enough because it's still a lot more work to be done that can actually be done by a single person. In other cases, when you have people with, let's say, or organizations that have a lot of experience, they tend to have a more mature structure, meaning that they will understand that product management is a process and it is a function. And therefore, when you assign key resources to actually implement that process, depending on the size of the organization and depending on the number of products that are already in the market or are currently in development, they understand that often implementing and executing that process is more than a single full-time job. And they begin to actually start assigning not just one or two, but several resources, people working as a team in product management or product marketing to actually execute the process that exists. And they understand that the process, once a company has reached a certain size, maybe more than a single person. And so you can see a huge difference between the job descriptions of companies that have mature structure of product management teams versus, let's say, a startup or a growing organization that has very few processes in place and is trying to fill many gaps with a single resource.
Yeah, I think that's a great distinction. I think for companies where, especially startups, where they're looking for their first product manager, they're going to look for a generalist that can cover everything, mostly because they don't know what to look for. And whereas as a team grows, they can start to fill in some of those gaps. I do notice for that first hire, though, companies that aren't familiar with the product management job function, they tend to hire for just the creative sort of idea generation or writing requirements piece of product management. And there's often, I see this a lot in startups, and there's often little awareness of all the other things that we do as product professionals.
Yeah, so you're saying, Teresa, that in the startups and the early stage organizations or early stage product, they're just looking at the front end of the product, the design, the look and feel, the user experience, the personas, everything to conceive and plan and develop the product and nothing afterwards.
Yeah, and not just the front end. I would say even on the front end, what's missing is the business sometimes the business context, sometimes the user research side of things, kind of understanding the landscape and your market. I know a lot of startups are very idea-driven and very founder vision-driven, and so it's the classic, I have a product that's looking for a problem. And I think a lot of that comes from the fact that in these organizations, the product management function isn't very mature yet.
Why don't we go on to Q2, which is, what challenges do product managers often face on a daily basis?
The challenges that you see, and this is regardless of what the product and industries, I'm aware of a recent study that was actually published in June of 2010 that was actually performed by researchers at the Kellogg School of Management. And this particular study was actually sponsored by Microsoft, and it's actually one of the few studies that I've seen, that I've ever seen being done, where the actual subject were product managers and product marketing managers with experience, with years of experience, and then looking at their environment and see if there were any issues that were common, regardless of what the product or industry or companies that they work for. And so they actually included surveys and interviews that they performed over a period of time. And I believe they surveyed over 200 experienced professionals, both product managers as well as product marketing managers. And what came out of that study, when I talked to people around the country that actually have been in product management for a few years, invariably you see that these challenges are very common, and it's regardless of industries and regardless of the product or the companies they work for. But the one thing that came out of the common challenges is that, one, often the roles of product management or product marketing are confused within the company, and often many people within the company don't understand or are confused by what is the purpose of the role. So that's the first thing that came out of that study. It was identified that often even people who have been in the same company for years, they struggle because different internal stakeholders within the organization don't understand the need for the role itself. Second thing that came out of the study is that the role lacks clarity, meaning that either the responsibilities assigned to them are too vague and too broad, or too many things that they need to be involved with, and they find that they just don't have enough time to do everything that is in the job description. Either that, or that there's not enough clarity in the job description, because many tasks that end up being assigned to them are not necessarily in the job description or part of the roles and responsibilities as to the reason why they were hired to begin with. Third thing that came out of the study is that product managers and product marketing managers lack the empowerment to be able to make critical decisions with respect to the product that they're responsible for, and they often have no influence on things such as branding of the product, any kind of marketing tactics, i.e. advertising and the messaging that needs to be broadcast to actually create more revenue for the products for which they're responsible for. And also that there's very little connection between the marketing activities that go on and what's really needed to actually create the demand for the products that are already in the market for which they're responsible for. And even though they may be assigned P&L responsibilities in many cases, they have no way of actually being able to create demand from a marketing point of view in order to empower the sales teams to to actually achieve the revenue that has been agreed upon and in many cases has been presented to executives, and they usually end up being disconnect between the achieved versus planned revenue for the product for which they're responsible for. And it really stems down to the fact that they lack the empowerment to make those kinds of critical decisions that end up, in many cases, often impacting revenue for the products for which they're responsible for. So these are the things that came out of this particular study. And when you start talking to people informally when I'm networking around the country, typically any of these is really the reasons why, you know, many of these experienced professionals are not feeling very happy about their current assignments and what they're doing. In many cases, the way that I actually will end up kind of addressing this issue and focusing on this is that in most cases, even though the role of product management and product marketing is supposed to be a strategic role, often these professionals end up with a bucket list of things that are not strategic. They mostly tend to be tactical in nature, or often very much in trying to fill operational type of gaps that exist, and they tend to detract from the focus of being more strategic and end up becoming more involved in day-to-day operations rather than thinking about how do they create and implement the vision of the product for which they're responsible for.
So with so many obstacles to being successful in product management within organizations, it's amazing how many people I know that are passionate about product management.
You know, there are some commonalities of exceptional product managers, you know, traits, so to speak, vital traits that are common to be successful as a product manager. And this comes across as sort of like the crossover skills or marketable skills for anyone that is interested in product management. And when I talk about the traits, these are basically personal characteristics of professionals who would do well and would tend to succeed in any organization as either product managers or product marketing managers. So besides the hard skills or the hard abilities that companies would often look for, the leadership skills tend to be some of these marketable crossover skills. So someone who likes to lead and someone who has influential skills, negotiation skills as well, can actually create consensus amongst a cross-functional team or teams that they have to lead. Often what I tell people, the one common denominator that I see is that exceptional product managers are passionate about the product management process. And often they can actually architect and lay out a process when there is none within a company, because they understand that the only way for a company to be successful in the long term is to basically come up with some sort of recipe that allows you to then create whatever new revenue streams for the organization through product ideas that fit the needs of customers and that can take advantage of opportunities due to market trends that are happening based on the ever-changing business landscape. And it's really those people that have that passion, that drive, and that have those collaborative and influential skills that can actually influence the decision makers to make things happen within an organization, whether that is the senior managers or executives, and often going back to the product team leaders and making sure that the right decisions are being made.
Absolutely. I would say every position I've been in, from right out of school all the way up through senior management positions, I think the critical skill for somebody on a product team is being influential without authority. Whether it's in the development stage and working with engineers that you don't have sort of direct line authority over, or whether it's facilitating a strategy meeting with senior executives to kind of create that, the definition around what your product going to do and not do. And, you know, there's a laundry list of hard skills for what product managers have to do, but none of them are going to get done, or none of them are going to be effective if the product team as a whole isn't able to be influential and steer and be the steward of that product vision and make sure that the marketing message is aligned with it and that the branding is aligned with it across the sales message, et cetera. So yeah, I would absolutely agree. I think that learning to be influential even when you don't have authority is a pretty key skill for product professionals.
I want to add also that when I talk to most people about the real key to being an exceptional product manager is to recognize that if you are in a role of product management or product marketing, you are leading change within any organization because you find very quickly that sometimes creating demand for often when I speak to people about the real key to product management and product marketing, I tell them that exceptional product managers lead change within any organization. And often these changes, the need for the changes are not necessarily being recognized by anyone within the organization. And so it really becomes that exceptional product managers or product marketing managers are agents of change within the organization. So in order to be successful, if you talk to anyone that talks about leading change within organizations, especially within larger organizations, this is where the majority of the struggle is for most product managers and product marketing managers, is the fact that by the nature of most corporate cultures is to resist change, because usually change leads to additional work for different people, and sometimes there is naturally a resistance towards that. So my advice would be that you are in an environment where the culture itself lends itself to adopting to change very quickly. And it is those organizations that the most successful and innovative organizations are the ones that have found a way to foster a culture within the organization that can quickly lead and then adopt to changes, because they understand that that's the only way that they're going to actually maintain a competitive advantage in the marketplace, and that the only way that they're going to continue to come up with product ideas that will be available at the right time and will be fulfilling the right set of needs for groups of customers that they intend to target.
Excellent. So we've covered the challenges for individuals and within the organization. So Q3, I think the answer is obvious, but the question is, Q3, why do product managers need a mentor?
The idea of having a mentor, I think, in many cases is because usually the majority of the benefits are for the people who are seeking a mentor. And it's not necessarily for everyone, but it is for those folks that understand that anyone has strengths and weaknesses, and the whole purpose of being successful in any profession is to focus on leveraging the strengths and then mitigating any kind of weaknesses that you have as a professional. Having a mentor allows you to identify weaknesses and then have a plan by which you are committing to grow and change yourself and become a better manager above and foremost. So if you're going to be leading change, you've got to be able to figure out how to communicate and be a great communicator. You've got to be able to influence others, and often you have to be able to communicate with people that have maybe completely different styles or different motivation for work. That is really the key of being an exceptional product manager. And if you have come into product management from being in a completely different role within an organization, you often will find that, you know, some of these skills actually take work to develop. Some of the leadership skills specifically actually will take work to develop and even to sharpen and maintain over time. And it's actually through some commitment on a personal level to create and then execute a professional growth plan that you can actually start focusing on developing and then continuing to sharpen your leadership skills and the crossover skills that are common to exceptional product managers. So that's the number one thing is you got to be committed to improving and assessing your own weaknesses and then improving over time to make sure that you can actually close the gaps on any weaknesses that you've identified. And I think the mentor is a great way of actually, once you have gone through the self-assessment, being able to commit to do take certain steps, and then allowing the mentor or someone to keep you accountable to making sure that you are indeed executing or that you are committed to continue to improve yourself over time as a professional.
Therese, have you had a mentor or been a mentee?
Yeah, I've done both. I've both mentored new product managers and I've had several mentors myself as well. I actually look at it a little bit differently in terms of I prefer to have more than one mentor at any given time, and I look at it in two different ways. The first is, in product management, there's just far too many required skills, and you're not going to be able to manage all or master all of them. And so I try to make connections and find people that may be pricing experts or that might be distribution channel experts, so that when I find myself tackling a problem where I might not have as much expertise as I had hoped, I have somebody I can turn to and get help with. And then the second area I look at with mentors is it's always product management is a hard job. It's kind of you against everybody on some days, and there's always way too much to do. And I find that it's really helpful to have somebody that's your champion, that when you're just, it's kind of your mental health mentor, that when you're having a tough time or you need advice, that there's someone that's always going to have your back and be there to support you.
That's brilliant. I always surround myself with experts, but I never realized that I could have a structured relationship with them. When I think of mentors, I think of having a structured relationship where both mentor and mentee agree to this standard process, which makes a lot of sense.
That's interesting. So one thing that I find is that in my last company, we looked at social recruiting services, and one of the things we offered was a mentorship program. And we found that a lot of people are very uncomfortable with that formal mentor-mentee relationship. People don't quite know what it means or if they're qualified to be a mentor or if it's awkward to need one. And what we found worked a lot better was to have less formal mentors where maybe the relationship is constantly changing. Or if you take this notion of expertise, if there's two people in the relationship, one may be an expert in one area and the other is an expert in the other area, and it's a much more mutual relationship.
Yeah, I'd like to make a point that is related to what Teresa just said. You know, first of all, I think that in my own experience, the way that I started building a mentor network was because I actually ended up at a company that had a formal mentor program. And this was actually being coordinated by people in the learning and development organization of this company. So the learning and development organization was responsible for putting together a set of training programs for different managers within the organization. And the organization was quite big, several thousand people, employees, probably had, I would say, several different roles in management. And they offered a training track for managers that basically focused on development of leadership skills and soft skills of all different types that were offered as training courses available to anyone that wanted was in a management position or was interested in entering a management position within the organization. So this particular company was very mature. What I was saying is sharing my own experience and kind of focusing on some of the points that Teresa made, and that is that the way that I came across and started actually focusing on developing a mentor network, it wasn't necessarily anything that I was taught in any educational program. So I had gone through my bachelor's and my master's, all in technical fields. And at no point did I have, let's say, a class regarding the value of looking for mentors. I did come across my experience at this one company that was very mature, very evolved, where they actually had a formal management training program for anyone that was interested in entering management within the company or was already in a management position. And this particular training program was actually being implemented and administered by the learning and development department within the company. It was actually a branch of human resources. Now, this was one of the first times that I had actually seen a company with this type of program. And I realize now that in a startup or in smaller companies, and sometimes even in companies that have grown very quickly over time, this type of support and training is often not available to anyone within the organization because the company hasn't really had the chance to invest in growing their employees. That's the first point I want to make. So it really comes down to some companies that are doing this are very proactive, and they know and they understand the value of growing their employees so that they continue to contribute to the mission and vision of the company itself. What you find today is that it's really the top companies to work for, very few that actually have these type of programs even today. And so not many of these programs are well known, especially if you are in a startup or in a small company that has, that is fairly young and does not have the maturity in processes or in the way that they're growing their employees, or simply companies that don't really have a component where they're committed to continue to grow their employees within the organization.
This is a missed opportunity because I know that HR departments have mentoring in place for other functions, but it's probably that they don't know how to create a product management organization, so how would they know how to create mentors to support it?
That is correct. And so it's kind of a catch-22 because unless you have been in that environment, you don't know what you don't know. And in many cases, you know, depending on what your experience is, you may be in an environment where as a product manager or product marketing manager, you're not necessarily being empowered to make the critical decisions that you should be making about the products for which you're responsible, and no one is helping you develop skills that you need to continue to be successful and continue to contribute to accomplish the strategy, the business strategy for the company for which you're working for. And so it becomes this gap that exists between what you understand and what the company really understands. And in many cases, you end up being in an environment where you end up making a lot of mistakes that no one can really foresee because neither the managers within the organization really understand enough to really know what level of information is required and what is the best strategy to select. And they end up normally just taking a shotgun approach on tactics, and many of those tactics end up not succeeding. And it's all due to the fact that there is a gap. There's a gap in the knowledge of the people who happen to be there, whether they're executives or senior managers. And also there's a gap between the people who have been assigned to make some of these, to help senior managers make some of these critical decisions for the creation of revenue streams and ensuring the success of products that are currently being built or that are already in the market.
We definitely have covered the value of having a mentor and the value of organizations creating mentoring opportunities. Q5 is why be a mentor. Q5 is why be a mentor. Q6 is who would you be a mentor to? There's already been a question out on Twitter, how do you find a mentor? And our Q7 was, what are the requirements to be a good mentee? So I just want to interject that Hector will be discussing this on a webcast on the AIPMM webinar series coming up on August 10th. And I will be on that webinar. I'm very excited about this information. I've been wanting to talk about this for a long time because I think we need to create this culture of mentoring within the product management profession. So please join us on that webcast and we will go into more detail. How does one become a mentor? How do you find a mentor? What are your suggestions?
Sure. So I want to start with, you know, what's in it for a mentor? And I think that for most people who have benefited from having several mentors throughout their professional career, they have actually seen the benefits that they have received as proteges or mentees by being able to learn from somebody else's experience and advice. So what's in it for a mentor is really, you see that there's significance because you can actually share your knowledge and then inspire and motivate others. For a mentor, it's really mostly about having an impact and making a difference on somebody else's professional career. It's about sharing your expertise. It's about sharing your knowledge. It's about also inspiring and motivating others. And all of these, by the way, are things that make you an exceptional manager to begin with. They will definitely make you a much better product manager by being able to share your knowledge, your expertise, and your experience, and being able to then commit to actually share your perspective and often share your stories about what you went through in your professional careers for the benefit of somebody else who might have similar aspirations to either be a great product manager or that wants to become a great product manager. On the side of the protege, I think that there are qualifications. It's not just for everybody. First of all, as a protege, you have to have commitment to learning and developing yourself. Without that commitment, there's no mentor in the world that can help you achieve things that you're not willing to work for. So you have to commit to learn from advice and from somebody else's experience so that you don't end up making the same mistakes that somebody else made. So you have to be able to genuinely have an interest in your own professional and personal growth, as well as have practice active listening skills, because that's really the value of a mentor-protege relationship, is to be able for the mentor to relate their experience and expertise, and then the protege or mentee being able to benefit from that and be able to take away conclusions on what to do to avoid pitfalls that the mentors have encountered in the past in their own careers. The other piece that I always tell about proteges is that they've got to be open and receptive to receiving feedback and coaching. And it is not for everyone, because I find that so often there may be people that, for whatever reason, they tend to resist feedback or value feedback or coaching from someone else. It's almost like they have to learn through their own experience and go through their own, make their own mistakes. And if you're that kind of person, then no mentor in the world can actually help you. You have to have that willingness to take risks, the willingness to actually commit to your own professional and personal growth. And finally, I think that in order for the relationship between a mentor and protege, the reason why, the root cause as to why many relationships between a mentor and a protege don't work is because you have to establish rapport in the first place. And that rapport is a two-way street. It's got to be on both sides. The mentor has to relate to the protege, and the protege has to relate to the mentor somehow. Being able to match a mentor that has more experience and more expertise than the protege, specifically in the domains of product management and product marketing, is key for anyone that is looking for a mentor that wants to become a better product manager or a better product marketing manager. And that's where AIPMM comes in. AIPMM is, we have today members in over 65 countries. We are today the world's largest membership-based organization that focuses on product management, product marketing, and brand management. So many of our members have years of expertise in those domains. We are a great source for mentors, and we're finding that many of our new members are willing to take advice, are willing to actually do the work, whatever self-development they need to commit to become better product managers, and they're open to learning about the domain expertise of product management and product marketing, both formally and informally. What I mean by formal is that, you know, there are formal ways that you can actually find out about what is the body of knowledge of product management and product marketing. AIPMM, you know, has been defining this body of knowledge since its inception, and we are about to publish that body of knowledge later this year. We're calling this the ProdBook. And the ProdBook is nothing more than a widely adopted set of practices, strategies, methodologies, and terminology that has to do with the domain expertise of product management and product marketing. We have over 50 thought leaders and experts with years of experience who are helping us define this body of knowledge that we're about to publish. Our members have been certified in product management or product marketing, which means that they have validated their expertise that they've acquired, many of them through years of experience, with respect to this body of knowledge that we have defined. So we have sources of mentors as well as sources of proteges that are looking for people with more experience that they can rely on so they can actually become better product managers. And that's what we're focusing on, is our program that we're offering is we match up mentors and proteges. And the unique thing is that the domain expertise that is being discussed is specifically regarding product management and product marketing. To the majority of the extent, it doesn't really matter what the industry is, what company you're from, the domain expertise is a common piece. And that is, what is product management and what is product marketing and what is the portfolio of practices and strategies that you can consider applying depending on what's happening within your industry, within your company, and with the product for which you're responsible for.
Excellent. Very exciting that the AIPMM is actually putting in an official mentor matching program. And I know you'll speak more about it at the webcast coming up on August 10th. And VAIPMM is indeed a sponsor of the Global Product Management Talk. By the way, if you would like to share your solutions, your product, and your expertise with a global audience of 5,000-plus listeners per podcast, please contact us to sponsor the Global Product Management Talk. Thank you, Hector, for joining us today. Thank you, Teresa, for joining us.
It's my pleasure to have been, you know, this topic. As you can tell, I'm very passionate about this topic. I'm a strong believer that if you want to become a better professional, a better manager, you've got to be able to establish a mentor network. And through AIPMM, we're focusing on just that for product managers, brand managers, and product marketing managers. So it's my pleasure to be part of this discussion. And I want to thank you, Cindy, for allowing me to be a guest speaker at this particular discussion. And Teresa, I thank you very much for your contribution and your points of view regarding this. And I really have enjoyed this.
Great. Teresa, thank you for jumping in today. You had some great points. And I look forward to you joining us again as a co-host and also as our showcase speaker.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for inviting me. And Hector, it's been a pleasure joining you in this conversation. And I hope to see you at future talks as well.
Great.
Thank you. Follow us at www.blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK to get reminders for upcoming talks. Next week, our showcase speaker is John Newbery, who will be joining us from the UK, and we'll be talking about managing product end of life, killing a product, or retiring gracefully. So John will lead a discussion on the end of the product lifecycle, how to deal with product obsolescence in the retire stage, something that is not talked about very often because it's not fun, but it ends up being damaging and expensive to the organization when they do not handle it well. So please join us again next week. Thank you to our listeners and our tweeters. This is Cindy Solomon signing off. Have a great week.